Welcome to the Becoming You podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to unlock a more confident, joyful, and fulfilling life. I'm Megan, life coach and breathwork facilitator, and your no-nonsense bestie, here to provide you with the tools, resources, and insights you need to thrive. Every fortnight, we'll be diving into topics that matter the most to you, whether it's overcoming self-doubt, embracing your authentic self, or learning how to actually regulate your nervous system. Don't worry, I've got you covered. So let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to season 4, episode 3 of the Becoming You podcast. And today we're going to be talking about anxiety. And I know if you listen to this, you are like, okay, give me all the things. I want to know all the things that are going to help me reduce my levels of anxiety without the need for medication. There's so much push these days on medicating everything and not enough focus on actually getting to the root cause and taking self-responsibility for why you're experiencing these things in the first place. So my intention with this episode is to empower you. I want you to know the things that you can do for yourself to reduce your anxiety. And whether you do them or not, that is completely up to you. We're all responsible for ourselves and you get to decide. You get to decide what works for you and what doesn't. But I want to share some things that have worked for me and that I know actually help regulate your nervous system. So let's dive in. The first thing is turning off notifications on your apps. If you're anything like me, when you see your phone and there are 35 notifications on all different apps, there are messages, there are emails, there are things on TikTok, there are everything from every angle, it feels fucking overwhelming. And it's like, oh, I just can't even go into that. And you just almost go into like functional freeze, right? There's so much in your face that you just do nothing. Yeah, you don't respond to messages, you don't get back to things, you just don't look. It creates this avoidance mindset where you're like, there's just too much, so I'm not even going to address anything. So turning off the notifications on your apps allows you to decide when you're going to go into things and when you're actually going to give things your attention. We are not designed to be on call 24/7. This was never meant to be how humans live, right? This technology age, it's unprecedented. We've never lived in this kind of time before. And you can see the detrimental impacts it's actually having on people, their mental health, their lives, their connection with reality and other people, because it's all inside a phone now. So we're not designed to have our cortisol spiked at all moments of the day, when we receive a notification, when we receive an email, when it's like, oh my God, I need to speak to everyone at all times. I need to be available. It's like, no, you fucking don't. And it becomes really about you allowing yourself space to say, I'm actually not available for this. And being able to dictate your own schedule, dictate when you actually get back to messages. And I know this feels really difficult in the beginning because the thought of not responding to somebody makes you feel anxious, yeah? The thought of, oh my God, so-and-so is going to text me and I'm not going to get back to them and then they're going to think this about me. It's like, no, this is what we're working on. This is how we're going to decrease the anxiety because we're facing the fear in the first place. We're creating that barrier and we're learning that just because you don't get back to so-and-so within like 5 minutes doesn't mean that you're going to die. In fact, you're going to survive. In fact, I would hazard a guess, you're going to fucking thrive. And this has been absolutely true for me. My phone stays on do not disturb most times because I don't want to be notified. And then most of my apps have no notifications on them. And this is from someone who's even running a business. So it can happen, honestly. Oh, it's one of the best things I ever did. The second thing that's going to help you reduce your anxiety is the way you start your day. Being intentional about your morning routine will be a fucking game changer. If you roll over and the first thing that you do is turn off your alarm, pick up your phone, start scrolling on Instagram, start scrolling on TikTok, start reading emails, whatever, you are already putting yourself into an anxious state before you fucking get out of bed. And that is on you. You're doing that to yourself. You're creating the anxiety in yourself. And if you want that to change, you have to take responsibility for it. So I'm not saying get up at 5 a.m. and do this, 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 and this, like have a fucking hour long morning routine, what some people would sell that idea to you. What I'm saying is take a look at your current situation, your current circumstance, how much time you leave yourself in the morning if you get up and you go to work, or if you get up and you work from home, whatever the situation is, and look at where you can amend that. Look at where you can give yourself maybe 10 minutes more in the morning, where you start off doing something that's good for your soul. You could lay in bed for the first 5 minutes and think of three things that you're grateful for and do 5 minutes of conscious breath work, where you breathe in for five and out for five, and you just start there. That is a conscious way of starting your morning that is not throwing you straight into spiking your cortisol levels. And I guarantee that's then the energy that you carry out into your day. If you start from a place of calm, if you do some meditation, if you move your body, if you do some breath work, if you even read a book, this is starting you off in this calm state, grounded state, as opposed to starting from a place of stress. And you will find that the more you do that and the more that you implement that, the less anxious you actually will be throughout the day. The third thing you want to do if you want to reduce your anxiety, and you're probably not going to like this because most people think coffee is life, but you have to reduce your caffeine intake. But I don't care who you are, caffeine spikes your cortisol levels, especially if you drink it on an empty stomach, if you drink it first thing in the morning. It's just not good for you. And yes, that's really hard to hear. I get it. But I'd also question that story myself and ask why you're so attached to something. You know, people always say, oh, well, I need my coffee. I need that for the energy and la, la, la. It's like, well, that's a really good story that gives your power away to something outside of you and says, I actually can't create that energy for myself. I can't operate without this thing outside of myself. And I wonder if that's serving you or not. And I say this from such a place of love because I used to be that person when it came to coffee. And I've been caffeine free for 2.5 years and I've never had more energy in my life. Like I don't need anything to ramp up my energy levels. Well, I suppose I can do that with breath work, which we all have access to. But caffeine was giving me anxiety. It was making me stressed. And I went from 3 coffees a day to 1 coffee a day and then eventually just cut it out. And so I'm saying, like, start where you're at, like meet yourself where you're at and start to reduce it. Maybe that looks like having 1 coffee a day for you, but you have it after you've eaten something. So it's not spiking the cortisol level. If you are already just drinking 1 coffee a day, maybe it's about cutting that out. Maybe it's about having one every other day. Or if you just want to go cold turkey, which I also like highly recommend, cut it out. Cut it out for 30 days and see how you feel on the other side of that. You might realize that you don't need it at all. Or you might be like, that was a cool experiment and I'm going to go back to it. But you never know if you never try. And this is what I'm trying to empower you to do. It's like, this is within your control and it's something that you could do if you wanted to. If you want it badly enough, you'll do it. You'll try it. I also can't go past this section without talking about alcohol and its impacts on your anxiety. If you are interested in understanding that a little bit more, Andrew Huberman has a great podcast episode all about alcohol and the impacts on the brain. And it's fascinating. And it was something that really cemented to me that I didn't want to drink anymore. But he talks about the baseline cortisol levels. And if you have, I can't remember the number, but I think it was like 3 standard drinks a week, you're actually raising your baseline level of cortisol. And what that means is even when you're not drinking, your cortisol levels become higher. So a lot of people often say that they drink because it relieves their stress. It makes them feel less anxious. That was one of the reasons I used to drink because I had social anxiety and I was like, oh, this like frees me up. I feel so much better. But actually it's doing the opposite. It is increasing your cortisol levels. And guess what? It keeps you stuck in a cycle of needing alcohol to feel a certain way. So really fascinating. Highly recommend that you reduce your alcohol intake. It also doesn't allow you to sleep. Alcohol cuts off the connection to part of the brain that allows you to get into REM sleep, deep sleep. So whenever you have a drink, you cannot get out optimal sleep, which means that, you, of course, you're not going to have a regulated nervous system and you're more likely to experience anxiety. So all around, it's not a great idea to be drinking. And again, this is on you. You get to decide what's going to work for you or not, but this is something I know will help. The fourth thing you want to do to reduce your anxiety is become really conscious of what you are exposing yourself to on a daily basis. And we often think about this in terms of what we listen to, right? What we watch. But it's so much deeper than that. It is who you surround yourself with. It is the conversations that you're having. It is the people you're following on social media. It is everything that is in your world that you consume on a daily basis. The food you put in your mouth, the water you drink. Please don't drink tap water. Please filter your water wherever you are in the world. That's a whole other thing. But being conscious of what you consume can change your life, because we have an energetic field and everything around us has an energetic field. And so when you're just running on autopilot and you're not actually considering what you're letting into your energy field on a daily basis, you will not understand how much of an impact that's having on you. And so, little example, back in the day when I was incredibly anxious, dysregulated, all the things, I used to fucking love true crime podcasts, true crime documentaries. I'd watch a lot of thrillers and really enjoyed it, because my nervous system was already fucking shot. It was already in fight or flight. So those things were almost like addictive for me. Now I really struggle to watch those kind of things. They no longer give me that dopamine hit. I'm no longer addicted to that chaos almost. It's actually really impactful on my nervous system, and I have to be quite careful when I watch them and how much of it I watch them. I can see the impact that it has on me. I can feel it in my body. And so I'm now conscious of what I expose myself to in that respect. Same thing with the news. I do not watch the news. I encourage you to stop watching any news, listening to any news, digesting any news in any way, because it is fear-mongering and it's actually designed to keep you in a negative and fear response, because that's how we are easier to control as a population. So this is one of those things where you get to decide what's serving you, what's not, and removing things that aren't. Whether it's people, whether it's conversations, whether it's unfollowing people on social media, whether it is toxic jobs, toxic relationships, like, this is where you get to set boundaries and really get to step into some more self-trust to go, wow, am I actually conscious about this? Have I actually thought about this? You know, that draining friendship that you have with that person that always wants to meet up, and then every time you leave that conversation, you feel, ugh, you feel drained, you feel negative, you can feel it in your body, and yet you still continue to spend time with them. Like, this is the kind of situation that you get to look at and go, actually, no more. Actually, that's not for me, because that's creating dis-ease in my body and it's not helpful. So just some food for thought with that one. The last thing that you can do to reduce your anxiety, and probably the most important thing, and I actually touched on this in the first episode of this season, it's around how you're breathing. So often people think that they have anxiety disorders and it's like a problem in their brain, or it's, you know, the anxiety came first, when often the poor, incorrect breathing came first and the anxiety followed. Because 95% of people who have some kind of anxiety disorder are also breathing incorrectly. If you fix the breathing, there's a really good chance you can start to fix the anxiety. And I'm saying this from experience, because this is what happened to me. I'd been anxious for as long as I could remember, and I finally realized at some point that I was breathing wrong. And when I started to shift that, things started to change. It's wild how the body works, right? Because the mind and body are constantly talking to each other. This is how that works. So if you are someone who breathes quickly through the mouth, shallowly into your chest, if you often find your posture is slumped forward, your clavicle muscles and your chest muscles are actually doing the work here when you're breathing, and that's not how it should be, you might find that you're more anxious. What you want to do here is retrain yourself to breathe in the correct way. And the correct way is through your nose. It is low, slow, and deep breaths into the diaphragm, into the belly, and feeling your belly expand on the inhale and fall on the exhale. And if you are like optimal health, optimal breathing, in the best shape of your life, and I mean that from like a biochemical, physiological, all of the ways, then you'll be breathing 10 to 12 breaths per minute. So many people are up there in the 16 to 18, even 20 breaths per minute. And this is, it is keeping you in chronic stress. It is keeping you in fight or flight. And this is a reason why you're dysregulated. So when you can anchor into the breath, when you can focus on the breath and fixing that, a lot of other things, a lot of other issues, physical and mental, will dissipate. So things you can do on a daily basis is just bringing your consciousness to your breath, making sure you are breathing through your nose. You can also introduce a little natural pause at the top and the bottom of each breath. So it's like inhaling, pause, exhaling, pause. This again is going to decrease how many breaths you are taking a minute. And if you want something that you can actually use in the moment of feeling anxious, because anxiety is a very normal human emotion, by the way, and we should all feel it at some point. There's nothing wrong with you if you feel anxious about something that's showing that you're alive. But if you are in that moment of stress and anxiety and you want something that you can do, the physiological sigh is really great for this. So it's a deep inhale through the nose, a small pause, another inhale, and then a long exhale through the mouth. I can't demonstrate that for you on this podcast because my microphone will not pick up the breathing, but there are videos you can watch online and it's also really easy. If you do three of those breaths in and a long exhale, that is going to allow your body to drop back into parasympathetic and it's going to give you more space to sort of think and be able to move forward. In general, we're just slowing the breathing down. That's what we want to do. If you want to have a conscious practice that you can do on a daily basis, I highly recommend heart coherence breathing. This is where we breathe in through the nose for 5 counts, out through the mouth for 5 counts, and we do this for at least 5 minutes. If you do this every single day, it is going to allow you to feel more regulated. It's going to allow you to increase that window of tolerance, which means that you can deal with more stress and feel less impacted by it, right? Because a regulated nervous system is not a nervous system that stays calm all the time. A regulated nervous system is one that can experience dysregulation and quickly come back into neutral, come back into regulation. And how do we do this? We do this by building resilience. We do this by actually pushing ourselves a little bit out of our comfort zone on a regular basis so that we increase that window of tolerance so that we're not so dysregulated at the smallest things. This is how we build that muscle. And I'm the queen of this because I have gone from someone who was incredibly dysregulated, would fly off the handle for fucking anything, to being a really regulated human now where, yes, things still trigger me. Yes, I still go into dysregulation. Yes, there are moments where it's like, fuck, but my body just comes back into neutral so quickly and it allows me to just get on with my life. I'm not drowning in emotions and I'm not controlled by these moments of anxiety or anger or whatever the thing is. And that's where we want to be because it's fucking powerful. So just to recap, the 5 things that you can do to reduce your anxiety without medication are turning off your notifications and having your phone on do not disturb, allowing yourself to decide when you want to engage in conversations or answer emails or texts, whatever. It gives you back some headspace and some power. The second thing is being really conscious of your morning routine. What are you doing first thing in the morning? Are you actually doing something that lights your soul on fire, that lets you start the day in a grounded space? And if you're not, you can shift it. Number 3 is reducing your caffeine intake and reducing your alcohol intake. Do it for 30 days, see what happens, then you can decide from there. The 4th thing is becoming really conscious of what you're consuming, what you're exposing yourself to on a daily basis, whether it's people, conversations, social media, the food that you eat, all really important for your mental health. And the last thing is becoming conscious of your breathing, slowing things down, noticing when you're breathing through your mouth, and proactively doing conscious breath work 5 minutes a day. And that is going to help you regulate your nervous system. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you found some value in it. If you did and you want to let me know what resonated with you, reach out to me on Instagram. I would love to chat. And I will see you in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to the Becoming You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe or share on your socials and tag me at @MeganScholey_. It really helps us reach more amazing women like you. See you in the next episode.